Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Berger, speaker. Today on the broadcast, we are going to continue our present series of studies for glories of God. We've already considered the glory of His grace and the glory of His power, and today, with the help of the Lord, we wish to consider the glory of Christ's coming. In the book of Titus, chapter 2, we read these words, verse 11, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." The Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back to this world in person. He's going to come back, first of all, to rapture, to snatch away all living Christians, and to raise the dead those who express their faith in Him, put their faith in Him, the blessed dead. He's going to raise them and the church and take them back to heaven. And this is going to come not on any specified date, but we believe very, very soon. This is going to be literal. It's thrilling to contemplate it. And when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, He's going to come back in glory, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Peter writes in his first epistle, chapter 4, and verse 13, these words, "But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." It's interesting to note, and perhaps you've not thought of this before, it's interesting to note that God has introduced three great eras with His glory and with miracle. Now I'm referring, of course, to the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel was delivered from the bondage of Egypt by those plagues that the Lord brought upon the nation of Egypt so that they would release His people. Now those plagues were miracles, and no sooner had God gone out into the desert when God appeared to them in His glory on Mount Sinai. Now this is a good way to start an era or a dispensation, if you choose to call it that. Start it with the glory of God. Start it with the instance of miracle to show that God is in power and that His power is going to see this matter through. Then we come to the Christian era. Our Lord Jesus Christ performed the many, many miracles that He performed in this world. They had to believe on Him when they saw His miracles, some of them chose not to do so. But we see the miracle of His life, the miracle of His miracles, and the miracle of His resurrection. He started that, and with the glory that was His now, and the glory that was God in that resurrection. Now, this church age is going to end, and the age of the millennial reign of our Lord Jesus Christ is coming in. It is going to be introduced by the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ in His glory, in His Shekinah glory, when He comes to take away the saints of God, and that's the glory which we wish to consider today, and the glory when He touches down on the Mount of Olives. The mountain will split wide open. He comes down to reign. He will come in glory, He says, as the coming of the lightning shining from the east to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be in that coming day. He's going to introduce that era, that dispensation, with glory. We wish to consider today, however, the wonderful miracle of the rapture of the saints of God. This last era is going to start with the rapture of the church. Not that the church has to do with the millennial reign of our Lord Jesus Christ. The tribulation comes in between. That's only 7 short years. But it is ushered in. It is ushered in by the rapture of the church. And that rapture is spoken of the Lord Jesus Christ. While he was here, he spoke of the fact that he was coming back again. And he told his disciples as he was about to leave them in John chapter 14, that well-known chapter, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you personally unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." The Lord promised that he was coming back. The angels in the first chapter of Acts promised that he was coming back. The disciples asked the Lord, before he left them, before he was raptured, or before he was transferred, ascended into glory, "When are you going to restore the kingdom?" He says, "It's not for you to know the times and the seasons that the Father has put in his power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they stood looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, 2 men stood by them in white apparel, their angels, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." The angels promised that he's coming back. This same Jesus, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." They promised his return. Paul, in the 4th chapter of 1 Thessalonians, promises that Christ is coming back. He says there in that wonderful chapter, verse 13, "But I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others, which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so also them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep in Jesus. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." Now this is called the rapture. Caught up, snatched away from this earth. This is going to be the greatest miracle of all ages. All the dead, the blessed dead of past dispensations, and the church, the dead in the church, and those that are alive, are going to be raptured, caught up into heaven. That is the greatest miracle that God has ever performed. All the miracles that God has ever performed, rolled into one, cannot equal this single miracle when the dead rise from the graves at the command of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and we're to see that glory. Now that glory will not blind us. On the Mount of Transfiguration, the glory of the Lord appeared to the disciples when he promised them that they would not see death till they saw the kingdom coming in power. He was transfigured before them. They were frightened. The Apostle Paul was struck down by the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. He was frightened. But Peter tells us that when our Lord Jesus Christ comes, rejoice. inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, we may be glad with exceeding glory, exceeding joy, rather, at the sight of his glory. He has prepared us for it. The 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians tells us about that preparation. And he tells us there in that 51st verse, "Behold, I show unto you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. We shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of sin is death, and by the strength of sin, and the strength of sin, rather, is of the law. Now, this is the change. It's going to come for the living. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, they're going to be caught up. They're going to disappear. Millions of people are going to disappear all at once, and they may disappear before this broadcast ever reaches the air. They're going to disappear. People are going to wonder for a while what became of them, but they're somehow going to be reconciled to it. This is the beginning of the miracles that will usher in the millennial reign of our Lord Jesus Christ. The clock of prophecy will begin to tick soon for Israel. These are wonderful days to contemplate, and these are not myths. These are realities, and God has promised them. The glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that glory will not startle us. We'll be prepared for it. We'll be in our new bodies. And his glory will be a token of his love, the love that he has shown to you and to me. We read in Romans chapter 8, verses 17 and 18, if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. And we read in 2 Thessalonians 1 and 10, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, he's going to share his glory with his saints. That's a token of his love. And his glory is the answer to all the weariness of the way. His glory will receive us into heaven. We will be like him. And this is the answer of the Lord Jesus. You waited for me. Now I've come, and I've given you new bodies, and you're going to spend eternity with me. Wonderful, wonderful days are ahead for the church of God. The world is going to be taken by surprise. Don't let it surprise anybody listening to this broadcast today. It's going to happen. Are we ready for it? Are we his own? Should we be caught up if he comes? This is a question that we urgently need to answer. Is our faith in him? Did he die for us? Have we trusted our soul to him? Then we will be ready. Our Father, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, fill our hearts with anticipation at the glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus. In his name, amen.